Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, we're in our series on Jonah. And last week, we looked at the reality that Jonah, as a missionary, was on a ship in the middle of a stormy sea. And this week, as we just get started, I want to remind you of another missionary who was once on a ship. He's one of my spiritual heroes. His name was Hudson Taylor. Jonah was on a ship running from his missionary assignment, but Hudson Taylor was on a ship running to his missionary assignment in China. Jonah was on a ship that was in the middle of an enormous storm. In this particular story, Hudson Taylor was on a ship that had the opposite problem. It was a completely calm sea, and the current was drifting them toward some reefs that were just next to an island that cannibals lived on. And they could actually see the cannibals building fires in anticipation of this shipwreck. And the crew did everything that they knew to do. They did all the work they knew to work. And finally, the captain just came to Hudson Taylor and told him, there's no more hope. We've done everything we need to do. We just need to get ready for this. And Hudson Taylor said, nope, we've not done everything there is to do. There is one more thing we can do. And so they gathered the whole ship's crew and all the folks on the ship, and they knelt down and they prayed, and God rescued that ship, and they did not crash, and they were able to get out of that. And so in those two stories, in one, you had a captain of a ship who came to the missionary begging him to pray, and the missionary wouldn't do it. In the second story, you have a missionary who went to the captain and said, let's pray, and they did it. And so we're going to continue to look at the story of Jonah, this reluctant missionary, this missionary who did not have the heart of God, who refused to do what God called him to do. And where we left him last week was in that refusal, he had a death wish, and he said, just throw me overboard. He was swallowed by a great fish, and only then did Jonah pray. Well, as we said last week, Jonah reminds us that you can have sound doctrine, you can be morally upright, and still not have the heart of God. Jonah embraced God's moral will, but he did not embrace God's missional will, and the real reason was just because he didn't like God's will. See, God wanted Nineveh to respond in repentance, and Jonah wanted Nineveh to be destroyed, and so he just wasn't going to go there. And we left him last week at a place that he was so against seeing people come to the Lord who he did not think deserved to come to the Lord, that Jonah would rather die. And so he was thrown into the sea. And we just read from Jonah, the end of chapter 1 through chapter 2. And suppose that the story ended there at verse 16 in chapter 1. If that's where the story ended, the moral of the story would be, you better do God's will or you're going to get swallowed up. But that's not how the story ends. Because for the first time in the story, Jonah begins to look up. And because Jonah looked up, Jonah prayed. But let's deal, first of all, before we get to that prayer, let's deal with this fact that Jonah is now in the belly of a great fish. Now, what was that really like? If you're of a certain age, you learned the story on flannel graph. I actually went online. Did you know you can go on YouTube and you can watch flannel graph stories? Highly entertaining. But no, I learned this story on flannel graph. And on flannel graph, here's what it looked like. There was this picture of this well with like an, you know, you could see inside the belly. And Jonah was always very well dressed. And his headgear was still on intact. And he was sitting on a little stool. And there was a fire. That's the way I learned this story. Okay, folks. Do you believe, I'm asking you, do you believe that Jonah was in the belly of a whale? Okay, if he was in the belly of a whale, that ain't what the belly of a whale looks like. Now, I've not been there to confirm that, but I'm pretty sure the inside of a fish stinks. And it is full of all of the things that the fish has been ingesting and eating. It is full of seaweed. It is full of water. It is full of acids that are breaking down all of the things that this fish has been eating. It had to be a horrible, miserable place to be. And that's where Jonah found himself. And it is unbelievable. If you have a small God. Because clearly, this was an act of God. The God who formed the storm is the same God who provided the fish, which begs the question, how big is your God? Is he big enough to form a storm, but not big enough for a man to actually be swallowed by a whale? The big fish is only a big problem if you don't have a big God. Because a man cannot live in the belly of a whale for 3 days and tell about it any more than a man can be buried in the belly of the earth for 3 days and rise to tell about it. And I honestly believe that is why this story meets so much skepticism and incredulity. Actually, I don't think it is the hardest story in the Bible to believe. There's a lot of other stories that are equally or harder to believe. I really, with all my heart, believe this story receives so much skepticism and so much attack because Satan knows that because Jesus directly connected his death and burial and resurrection to the sign of Jonah, that if Satan can get us to doubt this story, then he's on the road to getting us to doubt that story. And if Satan can get us to doubt that story, that Jesus our Lord really did die, he really was buried, and he really did lay in a grave, and on the third day he really rose. If Satan can get us to disbelieve, to doubt that story, then he's getting us to doubt the very bedrock of our faith. And so, folks, don't listen to teachers. I'm getting off my notes now. Do not listen to teachers who explain away the Word of God. Do not listen to teachers who undermine the credibility of the Word of God. Because when it starts, it's a bad place that it's going to end. Turn them off. Don't read them. Don't listen to them. Back on my notes. Thank you. See, I don't doubt this story. Jonah did not doubt this story. Jonah lived to tell about it. And it drove him to prayer. And it's really an interesting prayer. Because if you and I were better versed in the Bible like we should be, we would know immediately that every single line of Jonah's prayer is a direct quotation from the Psalms. Every single line. It's a direct quotation from the Psalms. I have said before, I have practiced, I have taught before, that when you don't know what to pray, you should go to the Psalms. Because it's all there. Every situation, every emotion, every sin, every high and every low, it's all there in the Psalms. And so when you don't know what to pray, you go to the Psalms, and apparently Jonah felt the same way, because that's exactly what Jonah did. And I imagine, now this is just Ken's imagination, but I imagine that inside that great fish, Jonah is in and out of consciousness. I don't know, but that's what I imagine. It is a horrible situation in there, and he is in and out. But in his moments of lucidity, I imagine that the Word of God was coming back to Jonah, and that he was, can I say, regurgitating the Word in this context? Is that fun to say? He was remembering the Word of God. And the Psalms were coming back to him. And in his moments of lucidity, he was praying those words back to God. And because this prayer is directly from Scripture, this prayer will preach. Now you've heard of people who preach while they pray. You've heard some people who make announcements while they pray. Dear Lord, would you bless Sister So-and-so, who is in room 412 of the United Regional Hospital, by the way, Lord. You've heard people who make announcements through their prayer. Or you could be like the little boy who prayed, Dear God, as his mama put the meal in front of him, Dear God, thank you for this chicken, which I like to eat. And Dear God, thank you for this corn, which I like to eat. And Dear God, thank you for this salad, which someone must like to eat. One of the reasons we have prayers in the Bible is because prayers will preach. And this prayer is full of great theological truths about God. This prayer exalts God and His sovereignty over all of creation. This prayer lifts up God as the one who is worthy to be worshiped. Interestingly enough, inside the belly of this well, this prayer is not a prayer of lament. It is a prayer of worship. And it is a prayer of thanksgiving. Now, as I read it, and as I read and listened to some other people who have read it, it's kind of interesting to me. Some say that one thing that is missing from this prayer is confession and repentance. That nowhere in this psalm, nowhere in this prayer does Jonah repent and say, I'm sorry, Lord. Now, others say, well, that last psalm that he quoted maybe could be taken to say that, yes, he was repentant. I really don't know, because Jonah, we're going to find out, Jonah does get up and he goes, he obeys God, but he still, his heart's not in it. And we're going to look at that later. So I don't know. Jonah, to me, is really hard to figure out here. But in reality, aren't we all hard to figure out? See, like Jonah, we're all a mixture of depravity and dignity. We're all a mixture of religion and rebellion. We're all a mixture of faith and faithlessness. And sometimes within even the moment, I can have both faith and faithlessness. And maybe you can relate to that. You know, sometimes when we pray, we say the words. We're not sure we mean them, but we say them. Sometimes when we pray, we really mean the words. We say them and we mean them. I really do believe sometimes when we pray, we say the words wishing or hoping that we mean them. But Jonah gives voice to this complex faith struggle that goes on in all of us. Because the reality is, I really do pray better than I live. And maybe you're like that too. But the other reality is that if God wants to work through people, and He does, then He really doesn't have a choice except to do good through people who struggle to do good and sometimes struggle to even want to do good. And so Jonah's not the only one who has had a belly of the well moment in their faith journey. It's not a great place to be, but it's a great place to learn. So the next time you are down, I want you to try these up words. And if we don't have an outline this week, but if you want to write this down or put this in a note on your phone, remember these up words the next time that you're down. First of all, send up a prayer no matter where you are. Send up a prayer no matter where you are. And I'm not talking about where you are physically. I'm talking about where you are spiritually. I'm talking about where you are mentally, where you are emotionally. See, you can send up a prayer wherever you are. You do not have to get your act together before you can pray to God. You can go ahead and pray when you're down. Because you can't sink so low that your words can't get up to God. This book of Jonah is full of prayer. The sailors pray. We saw that before. Jonah prays. We're seeing that here. Later, the Ninevites are going to pray. And every single time that someone prays in Jonah, God answers. Because prayer doesn't work because you are good. Prayer works because God is good. And so when you, wherever you are, when you are down, send up a prayer. And to help you do that, number two, is store up sacred words for tempestuous times. Store up sacred words. It's obvious that Jonah knew the word. He knew the Psalms. And when he needed words, he had stored up God's word. And when you need words, you can use God's words. I think there's no better prayer to pray ever than to pray God's words back to him. Those are true. Those are faithful words. Those are promises God is going to keep because they're his words. So when you don't have words, you use God's words even when you are not feeling it. Because in using God's words, you might just find that the feelings come. There's a Christian writer, thinker in the last century. His name was Gordon MacDonald. He grew up and he went to a Christian prep school. And the headmaster of that prep school had the boys learn 300. They had to memorize 300 scriptures before they could graduate. And he would walk around campus and he would testimony. And he'd just catch them on the football field or catch them in the hall. And he'd name a scripture and they'd have to quote it. They had to memorize these 300 scriptures. One of those that they had to memorize was Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Now, as an older man, those words came back to Gordon MacDonald at a critical time. The doctor said he had cancer, said he had a tumor in his brain. And Gordon MacDonald wrote that when those words were said, which none of us ever want to hear, the very first words that came to his mind were words he had stored up 50 years prior. And Psalm 46 came to his mind and out of his mouth. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Folks, when you lift up sacred words will lift you up. So store up those words. And the third thing is, stir up memories of God's saving grace. When you're down, stir up memories of God's saving grace. Because faith is always built up by remembering. It's one of the great messages that we learn in the Old Testament all the way through is how often God told his people, remember. And he would rehearse all the ways that he had blessed Israel. And how often Israel would build an altar or lay a stone or do something that was purposely done so that when someone walked by, they would remember what God had done. And so when you are down, stir up those memories of God's saving grace. I have to practice this. Paula is a huge help to me in this. And we've literally had times where we've written blessings on little pieces of paper and we put them in a basket And when we really, really needed them, we would get the basket down and we would pull out a piece of paper. And we would remember and we would rehearse what God had done in the past, knowing that He hasn't changed and that He will help in the future. It is uplifting to look back at all the ways that God has lifted you up in your life. And in hindsight, remembering will help you see that very often God hasn't done what you expected. God loves to do the unexpected. Maybe it's not what you wanted, but in hindsight, it's exactly what you needed. And that's the case here with Jonah, because I want you to hear me this morning. If you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear me this, say this. This fish was not Jonah's sentence. This fish was Jonah's salvation. See, this fish wasn't Jonah's sentence. It wasn't his punishment. This fish was his salvation. This fish is what saved Jonah's life. See, Jonah would have died if not for this fish. And so when you stir up the memories, I bet you can look back and you can remember and you can see and you can find times when seasons and events in your life were such that you would say, I did not expect it. I did not even want it. But you know what? I have learned to thank God for it. Because it wasn't my sentence. It was my salvation. And so I want us to spend a few minutes this morning remembering. And what I want us to remember at this moment is that Jesus' sentence was our salvation. And He said to us, when you get together, remember. When you take the cup, remember. When you eat the bread, remember. And so would you take your bread and your cup? I want to say a prayer for the bread. And then I'll say a prayer for the cup. And we're going to have some minutes of silence. An opportunity for you to remember. Would you pray? Father, we come together as Your saints have done forever and ever, in every time and in every place, in every age, in every circumstance, in every situation, Your saints gather. And I'm thankful to be among Your saints at this place this morning. And Father, we gather to remember. There's so many things to remember. Each one of us can look back on a lifetime of memories that involve You, that are memories and moments of Your work in our life. But specifically this morning, we also gather because the Lord Jesus asked us to and told us to remember Him. And remembrance that His sentence was our salvation. And so we are about to take bread, the very substance of our daily life is bread. And when we take this bread, and I pray that on every day when we eat any bread, that we would remember that the Lord Jesus is our bread of life. He feeds us. He nourishes us. He's our sustenance. Sustenance. Also, we remember that this bread, as He said, represents His body. And we remember that Your very own Son, in obedience to Your specific will, allowed his body to be broken and pierced for our transgressions, and that by his stripes we are healed. And so in Jesus' name, we remember.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Save my soul, save my soul. You save my soul. Lord, you save my soul. Oh, I just want to say thank you.
Father God, we come to you also at this moment, and we take a cup. And again, Jesus said, when you take the cup, remember. So, Father, we remember that in your plan, blood, which the life is in the blood, that blood cleanses, that blood forgives, that blood washes in a spiritual reality that I believe and I'm thankful for. And so Jesus, again, in complete obedience to your will, allowed his blood to be poured out, not just dribbled out, but poured out, Lord. His body was so torn in so many places that the life's blood drained from him. And that in your eyes, that blood, when we come to Jesus in faith, when we are washed in baptism, that blood makes us white as snow. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, and our sins are forgiven. And in your eyes, we're faultless and blameless. And it is only because of Jesus. And so it is our honor and our privilege to remember him this morning. Amen.
You brought me out. You brought me out. thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you.